Hi, and welcome to the third episode of This Life of Faith. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. As I record this, it's Thanksgiving Eve, and this is without a doubt the most special Thanksgiving my family has ever had. I've been telling you about what happened to my son, Stephen. Today, I'll finish the story and talk a bit more about this life of faith. So today I'm just going to pick up where we left off last week. It's now Stephen's 12th day in the hospital, January 20th, and his fevers have not gone away. The tube that was inserted through his ribs into the area around his right lung has produced very little fluid, and also his red blood count keeps dropping. The three different antibiotics are still running 24 hours a day, and the PICC line is still giving him his only nourishment. Now it looks like the incision, which runs from just below his sternum to just above his pubic bone, has become infected. Dr. Ha, his surgeon, has had to remove all the staples, except for a few around his navel, so that the wound can be cleaned. This means that it will have to heal from the bottom up, or put another way, from the inside out. The staples were removed without anesthesia, and once the wound was opened, it was, at the widest part, about 3.5 inches wide, and about 2 inches deep. There were areas of dead tissue and infection, and a couple of places where the bowel was very close to coming out or eviscerating. As Stephen's dad, watching the doctor poke and prod the wound to evaluate the situation was almost more than I could take. And it was obvious that every time the doctor touched the wound, it shot pain through Stephen. But I knew it had to be done. The wound is packed with gauze, and 4 times a day, the gauze is changed out. Of course, the gauze adheres to the tissue as it absorbs the fluid that seeped from the wound, and when it's removed, it causes Stephen a great deal of pain. At this point, Stephen is truly my hero because he's beyond brave as he endures all of this. Only one time during the entire ordeal have I heard him say, "Why am I going through this, God?" His faith has remained steadfast, and I was so proud of him. And I've begun to feel a little bit like Job, but I'll talk more about that after I complete Stephen's story at the end of today's show. On this day, after working on the wound, Dr. Haas said that Stephen might be able to go home in a couple of days, if Stephen begins to improve. He really wants him to get out of the hospital. It's easier to get really bad infections in a hospital than at home, and he knows that Stephen will get better rest at home. But the next day, Stephen's fever goes back up to 103, and he has a rash all over his body. And of course, the packing and the incision is changed out 4 times a day. Stephen's becoming really discouraged at this point, and it's obvious that he won't be released tomorrow. 2 days later, after looking really good in the morning, by the afternoon, his fever again spikes to 101, and a chest x-ray shows fluid all around his lung again. I posted on my Facebook timeline, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." By now, I'm becoming increasingly aware of the fact that this entire episode is an attack from the enemy. I know that my commitment to the Lord is being tested, and I'm determined now more than ever to cling to my Creator. More on that later. Also on this day, it's now January 23rd, the wound treatment was changed. Instead of doing the gauze thing 4 times a day, an apparatus called a wound vac was brought in. Without going into all the details, I'll just say that a special type of foam rubber is fitted into the wound and then a vacuum is applied. And what this does is help draw out any infection, but more than that, it stimulates blood circulation to that area, speeding up the healing process. Also, the dressing only has to be changed 3 times a week. That's better, but the process of changing is extremely painful. So 3 different painkillers are necessary, including morphine. Stephen pretty much is asleep during the procedure because of all the drugs. Well, on the morning of the 26th, Saturday, it looked like we might be able to take Stephen home. They had told us that he'd be going home, and he was more than ready to get out of there. He was tired of nurses coming in every 2 hours to take his vitals. He was tired of seeing people check into the bed next to him and then being released before him, some of whom were louder and or out of their minds. And most of all, he was tired of being told he would be going home in the next day or so, only to be disappointed with a setback. But in the afternoon, we were yet again told, not today. This time it was because of red tape. Seems they couldn't find a home care group who were willing to take on Stephen's case. Now, I have to confess that we pretty much went ballistic on our caseworker at this point. It seems that she hadn't even tried to set up the home care arrangements until that day, a Saturday, when it had been known now for 3 days that this was going to be necessary, and she waits until the weekend to try to set it up? A weekend? We were livid, and Stephen finally boiled over. Pretty much the entire floor heard his reaction. He felt as if he was in prison, and he was so sick and tired of seeing the same four walls of his room, of laying in the same uncomfortable bed, of being poked and prodded every 2 hours. He was tired of the noise of the hospital, of getting no fresh air, of hearing, "You'll be home soon." I didn't blame him a bit. But later he apologized for his outburst. It broke my heart. All along the way, we were posting Facebook updates and letting our church community know what was going on with him. And I know that the prayers that went up for us definitely helped us through. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Stephen's fevers still have not gone away. They're still spiking to 101, 102, and even 103. But the consensus of the doctors seemed to be that if they keep up the heavy-duty antibiotic IVs and treat the fevers with Motrin, eventually, whatever is causing the fevers will give up. The infectious disease doctor does insist on a final test before releasing Stephen, but finally, the tests are complete and home care arrangements are made, and on Tuesday, January 29th, Stephen is released from the hospital. It's been 21 days since we nearly lost him, but our boy is home. He still has an open wound. He still has IVs running 24 hours a day. He's about 40 pounds lighter than he was when he got sick. He's barely able to walk. He has an ileostomy that needs care, but he's alive and on the mend. Leanne and I are trained by the visiting nurses how to change Stephen's IVs. The longest time between changes is 5 hours, with most changes taking place at 2-hour intervals, so we're on duty pretty much 24/7 for the month that the IVs are needed. The wound vac is a part of Stephen's life for a total of nearly 3 months. But slowly, the procedure becomes less painful, and fewer drugs are needed to dull the pain. And finally, Dr. Haw tells us that the wound vac has done all that it can. Just like that, it's gone. I'm crying here because as I tell you this, I'm reliving the ups and downs, and I'm just so thankful that I know how it comes out. So you'll have to forgive me for the emotions. So the wound vac is gone, and the wound is now only about 5 inches long and only a few millimeters deep. That's funny. If I had a wound right now on myself that was 5 inches long and a few millimeters deep, I'd be a baby. But Stephen was such a trooper. But anyway, now that the wound vac is gone, it's time to talk about the next surgical steps. And Dr. Haw tells us what's ahead. Stephen can live with the ileostomy for the rest of his life if he wants. Many people do live nearly normal lives with them. The bag or appliance just becomes a part of their daily routine. You can eliminate through that, and people do that. As a matter of fact, we have one older gentleman at our church who was just so supportive and so sweet to Stephen. He came and visited several times and told him what to expect living with an ileostomy and dealing with a special diet. Brother Clarence, as we called him, had a colostomy bag put in when he was a young man, and he still lives with it. And he says, "I wouldn't want a colon." So he does very well, and so he was very encouraging to Stephen. So there was that possibility that Stephen could just leave it the way it was, and he'd be done with it. But Stephen is only 21 years old, and there is a procedure that can be done that would restore him to being able to eliminate waste normally. In layman's terms, what happens is they take part of the small intestine and they can make it into what is called a J pouch, which will sort of take the place of the now absent colon. And here is where my respect and admiration for Dr. Ha went from an already high level right up to the stratosphere. He told us that he could do the procedure, but that he had not yet done one, and it was very complex. He didn't want to make a mistake on Stephen, especially since he was so young, and so he suggested we find a specialist, and he gave us some recommendations. Now, being a young surgeon, I'm sure that there was a part of him that would have really loved to do the surgery so that he could have it for his resume, and, you know, just it'd be better for his career if he, you know, could have that experience. And of course, surgeons in general have a very high opinion of themselves. But Dr. Ha put all of this aside in order to give Stephen the very best chance of living a normal life. And I love Dr. Ha, and I thank God that he was Stephen's doctor and that he gave us, the opportunity to make this decision. So the surgical process actually involves two surgeries. The first procedure is to build the J pouch, as I talked about, and connect it to the anus. Then about 6 weeks is needed for the tissues to heal before allowing the waste to go through, so the ileostomy is still functioning during this healing time. That's the first surgery. And then 6 weeks after that surgery, all the plumbing is hooked up and the ileostomy is closed up, and you're done. Well, as we were doing our due diligence in looking for the right place to go, the right doctor, God led us to the UCI Medical Center's Dr. Stephen Mills, who is the chief of the colon and rectal division of their school of medicine there. He too is a young doctor. Oh, by the way, UCI is University of California, Irvine, for those that are, you know, not in this area. He too is a young doctor at only 40 years of age, but after doing all of our, you know, digging and investigation and talking to people, I believe that Dr. Mills is one of the best specialists in the country in this field. And so we are so blessed to have found him. So, Stephen had two more hospital stints in 2013, but they went without a hitch. Obviously, Stephen was much healthier when he started this particular part of the process because he wasn't fighting ulcerative colitis any longer, and his insides had not just been bathed in poisons from his perforated colon. So he was basically healthy when he went in for his surgeries. Dr. Mills and the staff at UCI Med Center were awesome. The surgeries that Dr. Ha rightfully described as complex were routine for Dr. Mills and the gang at UCI. They do them many times a week, and so it felt really good to be in their care. Stephen's recovery ended up being faster than we expected. When this whole chapter began, Dr. Ha told us that the entire process with all the surgeries and recovery times would probably take 10 months. That would have meant that Stephen would be able to return to normal life in about November. Well, as it turned out, his first day back to work was on September 21st. And at his last checkup, a week after his last surgery, Dr. Mills told Stephen, "I'll see you in a year." As I record this today, November 27th, 2013, Stephen's back to his normal weight, and he just bought an engagement ring for Taryn, his girlfriend of 6 years. My wife, the lovely Lady Leanne, and I are thrilled because she stuck by Stephen's side during the entire ordeal and was just so much a help to him and to us. So we love Taryn, and we're thankful that she's going to be our daughter-in-law. Well, this Thanksgiving, the Webb family has so much to be thankful for. We still have Stephen. We have a new, beautiful granddaughter from our oldest son, Matthew, and his beautiful wife, Marina, so that makes two now. Our youngest son, Tim, survived an auto accident that, had his car been a foot to the left, would have killed him, but he walked away with just a few minor scratches and a totaled car, but we're thankful. We have a church family that supported us through the ordeal with Stephen, with prayers, with dinners brought to our home, and even financially. I don't think I mentioned during my retelling of the story that a week after Stephen went into the hospital, Leanne lost her job. The job through which we had our health insurance. Yes, our church family was a nearly perfect reflection of what the New Testament church ought to be. people sacrificially gave to us to help us get through the worst times. We love them, and we thank God for the very real ways that they love us. Some of the listeners to my podcast sent financial gifts as well. You know who you are, and I thank God for you too. Stephen's girlfriend set up a website to take donations for Stephen, and many of our friends from all different walks of life gave gifts as they were able. You know who you are too. We thank God for you. Stephen and Turin are fans of the Anaheim Ducks hockey team, and there's a clothing company that makes Ducks jerseys and t-shirts. Well, they designed a special shirt for Stephen, and all proceeds from the sale of that shirt are given to Stephen to help with the bills, which are staggering. Just as an aside, just the antibiotics, those IV antibiotics for that 1 month at the home, $45,000, just that part of it. I don't even at this point know what the total bill is. It's, yeah, it's staggering. So we're thankful for that t-shirt company. The name of the company, by the way, is Violent Gentleman. I could go on. Suffice to say that God showed His love to us through countless people who reached out to us and supported us with these financial gifts, and even more important, with their prayers and well wishes. I know there were hundreds, even thousands of people around the world who were following Stephen's journey. We owe a debt of gratitude to so many people, some of whom we probably will never meet on this side of heaven. We were truly humbled by the emails and Facebook comments. So I mentioned earlier that I felt a bit like Job in the midst of this ordeal with Stephen. In case you're not very familiar with Job's story, I'll take a moment here to give you the 10,000-foot view. Job lived a very long time ago, and he was a righteous man. One day, God mentioned to Satan what a good and righteous man Job was, and Satan said, "Well, of course he is. You've put a hedge of protection around him. You've blessed him with wealth and a family and every good thing. Take that away from him and he'll curse you to your face." So God said, "Okay, I give you everything he has, but you can't touch him." So Satan took everything away from Job, all of his wealth and all of his children, one after the other, in one day. And the Bible tells us, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" And then the story goes on to tell us that God even allowed Satan to strike Job's body, and he became very ill with sores all over him. And his wife told him to curse God and die. And his friends told him that he needed to confess whatever horrible sin he must have committed for these tragedies to befall him. But Job did not waver. He continued to worship and to love God. And it's a very long book of the Bible. I forgot how many pages it is, but it goes on and on and on with all the details. And in the end, God restored everything that had been taken from Job, and he even doubled everything. Now, as you can tell, I'm emotional about it. And thankfully, my story is not identical to Job's. And I'm not comparing my righteousness to Job's by any means. But listen, several years ago, specifically it was 2007, my wife and I had an extremely good year in our family business. We had a record year. And we had a beautiful home in a nice area of our town. And our boys were all doing well. And they all loved the Lord. And we were in ministry at our church, and my podcasts were ministering to people around the world. And I remember being thankful for each blessing. And I also remember saying on one of my podcasts and in other places that my faith in God was unshakable, that there was nothing that would cause me to turn my back on Him. And I didn't say this from a prideful place, but from a place of gratitude. It was a statement not of my faithfulness, but of God's faithfulness. In every situation, at every turn, God had demonstrated at that point in my life His faithfulness to me. Even when I was not faithful, He patiently and lovingly built my faith to the point where I believed that nothing would shake it. It was just me saying how good God is. And I think that when I said that in such a public way, the enemy, Satan, said, "Oh yeah, well let me at him, God." And I'm humbled to say that I believe God agreed to let me go through the process. And late in 2007, both my dad and Leanne's dad died. My dad had been sick for a long time, so it was not a surprise. But Leanne's dad, however, was a fairly healthy man. And he died as a result of bad care in the hospital after having just a routine surgery. And then in 2008, our business was hit especially hard by the economic collapse that happened to the world. We took a 90% hit to our business. I also went through a very ugly, unjust legal battle with my sister and my mother, which effectively tore both of them from me. And we began a multi-year battle to try to scrape enough money together each month to keep our home and keep the lights on. Literally, almost overnight, our lives were turned upside down. We went from having everything we wanted to living on the edge of having our basic needs met. To this day, we struggle financially. I'm working three jobs. Leanne still hasn't found employment. Things are very slowly getting better with the recent addition of my third job, but at least we're still in our home and food is still on the table. You might ask why I still have faith. How could a God that loved you, Steve, let everything fall apart like that? How could a God that loved you allow this kind of a sickness to happen to your son, etc., etc., etc.? Let me tell you, I have faith because of the miracles I've seen since all of this began. So many times it looked as if we would lose everything, and then God would supply miraculously at the last moment. We'd receive a gift just in the nick of time to pay a utility bill or a house payment. I'd get a voiceover job that would pay the medical insurance. And on it goes. And also, I look at life more from an external perspective than I do an earthly perspective. We're only on this planet for a flash of time. It's just the blink of an eye. I can endure hardship here knowing that very soon I will stand before God, and I want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This life of faith is not about having an easy life. It's about having a life of knowing God and serving Him. It's about living a life of love and sharing the love of God with those who need to hear it. Love is not about warm, fuzzy feelings. It's about helping others. It's about sacrificing for others. It's about building up and supporting other people. It's about doing for other people. This life of faith is about serving. It's about standing fast, knowing that the one who loves me will never leave me or forsake me. So don't despair if you too are going through hard times. I don't deny that it's hard. That's why it's called hard times. I don't deny that there are times of the fear of the unknown. I've often wondered, how is God going to work this out? But I've not doubted that He would. Life may be different than I thought it was going to be, but my life belongs to Him. He has the right to do with me what He wants. But for me, that's not a scary thing, because I know that He loves me. The New Testament book of Romans tells us, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." I know that I love God, and I know that He loved me. So I know that all things in my life are for my ultimate good. And I can rest in that in the midst of all the trials. This life of faith is not easy, but there is peace in the midst of the trials. Well, if you like this show, if you like this life of faith, so that you don't miss an episode, you can sign up for our mailing list. Just go to thislifeoffaith.com and you'll see a form at the top of the page on the right side. You'll get an email when a new episode is released. Or you can subscribe to the podcast in the iTunes Store, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are found. You can write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, and I would love to hear from you. Tell me how your faith is being tested or how it's been strengthened. I want to know. As a matter of fact, I need to know that you're there. I need your feedback. Write to me today. steve@lifespringmedia.com. Just tell me, hey, I'm listening. And there's a Facebook page where you can interact with me. Just search for LifeSpring Media. I'm on Twitter at @SteveWeb_. I'm on Google Plus. My user name is SteveWeb777. And lots of other places as well. Feel free to connect with me. I'd like to get to know you. And if you'd be so kind as to leave a review at the iTunes Store, that would be awesome as well, since the show is brand new. Help me get the word out there and share it on your various social networks. Background music today was from Kat Jahnke. Kat Jahnke is at katjahnke.com. As I've told you before, she is one of my favorite artists and favorite people. Until next time, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Thanks for being there. Bye-bye.